Hello! This is our very first Expect Exception episode, and today we are going to talk about Cypress, a JavaScript end-to-end testing framework. But first, let's have a quick introduction about the idea of this podcast, how it works, and who we are. This podcast is all about front-end testing. We believe that this topic is so huge that we can focus completely just on that. Since a long time, we already have different techniques on how to test our code. We can do unit testing, integration, end-to-end tests. We have a testing pyramid or an ice cone. We also do have manual testing on our application, like when we just go to the web browsers and do some monkey clicking techniques and just click around to see what is happening. Today, we also talk about snapshots and visual regressing testing. This is complicated. It is very hard to distinguish what and how to test. We also have a lot of different tools to write any kind of tests. We do have Jest, then we have Puppeteer, then we have Cypress and Selenium, just to name a few that came to my mind right now. Eventually, you will still remember ChessMine, Sine, and Mocha and Chai. But apart from all of these techniques or frameworks, another complicated thing about front-end testing or testing in general is that it's just such an opinionated topic, like why should we test our code at all? And what should we test? Are bad tests worse than having no tests at all? Is good test coverage even a good thing? Or is it maybe a bad thing when you think you have 100% green tests, but in reality there are errors happening on the page to your users? And we do have all of these questions and a lot more, because we even haven't started to talk about UI tests or CSS, that is like 50% of web pages. So to summarize right now, Expect Exception consists of two parts. We have an open GitHub repository as a discussion board. We use issues as threads. Everyone can contribute. Feel free to. The URL of the GitHub organization is github.com/expectexception. You can find the repository there. I link that also in the show notes. You can find the link also on our homepage, expect-exception.fail. Make sure to check that out. And based on the threads, we are using this podcast as a tool to get even deeper into the topic and discuss it here once again. So finally, I can come to the part of who we are. And today we have three hosts on the show. And first, I want to introduce Miriam, a front-end developer with a very special love for JavaScript. She loves software testing and adores unit tests. Hello, Miriam.
Hello. So nice to speak for the first time on our podcast. I'm so excited.
Then we have another host, and he is also the sponsor of our domain expect-exception.fail. So thank you so much for that. And hello, Dave.
Hi. Yeah, I'm totally excited about this first issue.
Then we have me. I'm Vanessa. You may know me as Vanzel from Twitter. I'm a front-end developer. I love to write HTML, CSS, JavaScript. I'm a big fan of Vue and Svelte and also of Tailwind CSS. And I'm, as I already mentioned, always confused when it comes to the topic of front-end testing. So let's dive right into today's topic, Cypress, a commonly known tool for end-to-end testing. So what is end-to-end testing and how does Cypress play a role in it?
What is end-to-end testing? I always get this, compare it with your user stories or user journeys. With the end-to-end testing, you can test complete user stories and not only small tasks. This is, for me, the best fitting explanation of end-to-end testing. So you can test from the front end through the API to the back end database and the way back to the front end, and you can test if everything worked like you expect. And this is end-to-end testing for me. What about you, Mayim?
Yeah, I think that's a good explanation. I think personally end-to-end testing is something I don't want to say hate, but end-to-end test can be really a struggle. For definition, I think an end-to-end test is, yeah, like you said, it's to test an application from one end, the user, to the to the other end, the database or the backend. And I think end-to-end tests are something I want to sprinkle on top of my testing pyramid, but use very little of. And if I use end-to-end tests, they have to be very good. So that's my kind of take with end-to-end tests. Vanessa?
I struggle most with end-to-end tests when it comes to the decision if I want to use unit tests or end-to-end tests. When writing small portfolio websites or static generated pages, maybe a bit of a Jamstack, I never can decide if I want to create unit tests or end-to-end tests for that, and also not sure why. When it comes to end-to-end tests in a bigger project, In the past, I had the problem that they weren't executed while I was developing my code, my application code. So the tests failed after I built them or I pushed them to GitHub. That makes sense because I didn't want to run them all on my localhost, but then they failed. It was kind of too late because we had like deadlines, and then you maybe just ignore one test, and why do you even have end-to-end tests then? But I also know that end-to-end tests a few times really saved me before I pushed something on production that would have broken like the golden path. And I had to rebuild this golden path with manual testing, and I just clicked through the application to see in the end if I am able to order. And that take like ages to do every single time I changed like one line, a line of code, that I have to test it from front to back. And that's not a feasible thing to do. So Miriam, you mentioned that you had some problems also with end-to-end tests. Mind getting a bit deeper into that?
Yeah, the thing is, I worked on a project in my former company where we had end-to-end test based, written in PyTest based on Selenium. And we had around 800 end-to-end tests, and they were so brittle. So the end-to-end test kind of, they broke every time we tested, we run the tests. They broke because sometimes you wanted to click a button, but the button was not there yet. So the typical end-to-end test stuff. And the thing is, we had a test suite, and we tested critical paths there, but we also tested things that could have been an integration or a unit test. So this is something we refactored later. And the end-to-end test took 2 hours to run. Later, two coworkers of mine kind of set it up, parallelized it on AWS. So it took only 20 minutes, but that's still quite some time. And the thing is, in the end, we had the feeling if around 30 end-to-end tests are failing, the code is healthy, because that was the amount of tests that mostly failed. And this is really dangerous, because this 30 tests, it could have been that they are failing because, a button is not there. But there also could have been one critical test, like, can the user buy something? And we wouldn't have noticed, because we all always thought, okay, around 30 tests, if they are failing, everything looks kind of good. So failing end-to-end tests and fixing this test and finding a potential bug was really hard. And I remember that I spent a whole day trying to find out how to fix my end-to-end test, until I noticed that the test failed because there was a bug. And that happened almost never. So I was so surprised that I didn't even think, oh, this test may fail because there's a bug. And that's I think the best way to know that you have bad tests, if you don't even think about that your test could fail for a reason, for good reason. Mm-hmm. So I have a bad opinion about end-to-end tests, especially Selenium. So I'm really happy that we have Cypress, and I want to hear more about Cypress and how we can use Cypress. Yes. And I think Dave can tell us more.
I just wanted to say that Cypress, on their own website, they are saying the web has evolved. Finally, testing has too. So Dave, what did Cypress do?
It comes up with something very important for us. We call it DX, developer experience. As you mentioned that you said sometimes tests are failing and you spend ages, felt like ages to fix and find out why they fail. And you never thought about that there's a bug or there's just because the test was flaky. And this is something this guy from Cybex kept in mind and said, okay, let's find a way and how we can test and how we can bring developer experience to a better level, to another level, to help the developer and make them love writing tests. This is every time when I am teaching testing, I try to do it in a very funny way so that the people start loving tests, because if they love something, they do it. When I first met Cypress, it was so mind-blowing because I had a very, very sad time struggling with Protractor, which is just a Selenium testing wrapper, whatever. And I spent years in fixing tests and waiting for tests to be run. And then someone told me, hey, you can run it on your machine in a very fast way. And you can also run it in the CI. And then my first thoughts were, okay, in the CI, then how should this be possible to run end-to-end tests when I can't see anything? And then they came up, hey, wait, it takes a video of the test and you can see the result of this test. And every single options and every single feature they came up was every time new, mind-blowing. And so I love Cybex that much. So I just wrote a blog post about this and I start doing workshops with this. Yeah, it's awesome. You can write tests like you develop front-end pages. And you have a tool which is easy to use. So the experience is a very, very important thing. So experience, if the developer love to do testing and they see that it is easy to test and not it is very complicated and you don't have to spend years on Stack Overflow or Google and looking for solutions and copy-pasting some code snippets, and you find just a way how you can test and it works, awesome. That's it. So I love this tool.
That sounds great. And also thanks for sharing all the knowledge in blog posts and workshops. And as far as I understand it, Cypress is so great because it can give you a prompt feedback to the developers. And this quick feedback is critical during the development cycle to constantly just react to warnings and errors and changes. And you can watch some videos what is going on. And that just couldn't be matched by Selenium web drivers. I think we already covered that one today. But I think I also heard that Cypress also recommends to mock backend APIs. And this kind of sounds rather like an integration test than an end-to-end test. So what are you doing in reality?
I do both. So I do end-to-end testing for stuff when I want to do end-to-end testing. Yeah, when the task is do end-to-end testing and test if everything works. And then I'm in charge not only for the front end, but also for testing if the back end is working properly. Then I do end-to-end testing. But if I want to test only my front end, then I try to mock the back end to speed up the testing and to decouple it from the API. Maybe there is no API at this moment. And then this is just an integration test. It's, by the way, it's very easy in Cypress to mock an API call because of the infrastructure and the architecture of this testing tool.
That's a really good topic because we currently in my company, we are starting to look into Cypress for end-to-end testing. So our product is, while it's one product, we have different apps for it. And in one app, we don't have to support IE. That's really good. So mm-hmm. we can use Cypress and we started to look into it and we will use it because of the developer experience. And I already tried it a bit at home, just on a pet project, and I fell in love with it because, yes, I'm used to this really big, lame, flaky, brittle Selenium stuff. So Cypress was like mind blown, like you say, Dave. Mm-hmm. And but one thing we thought about, okay, how do we write end-to-end tests? Because we don't want to really write an end-to-end test every time. We want to mock some stuff or fake out some stuff. But we also want to run some end-to-end tests. And I think Cypress, just because it's so fast, and I think we will, in the end, I think we will have a few of our integration tests no longer in Jest, but in Cypress. But I'm really interested in how you can write end-to-end tests. So how do you use it with the backend?
I just need to interrupt you for a moment, because first of all, congratulations that you don't have to support the Internet Explorer. But what does the Internet Explorer does have to do with Cypress? So is it not feasible to use Cypress for the Internet Explorer?
Cypress supports Chrome. So Cypress is kind of Chromium, but not 100% Chromium. I hope that's technically correct. And it supports Chromium, so Chrome, Edge, and in beta, it supports Firefox, but it has no support for Internet Explorer 11. And one of our applications has to support Internet Explorer 11, so we can't use Cypress there. But one part of our application doesn't have to support this browser, so we are going most likely to use it there.
Okay, thanks for that information, and sorry for interrupting. Go ahead again.
Yeah, my question would be for Dave, because Dave has the most experience from all of us here. How do you approach writing an end-to-end test, so without mocking stuff? So really testing one end to the other.
And how I do it? I think about the parts of the application I spent the most time and I feel most insecure with. and then I try to build a test for this. And then when I did this, then I try to write tests every time I have to do something on the front end. So every front end task comes up with another test. And not all of them are end-to-end tests, but I try to expand the functionalities and the features I test in my in the applications I'm working on. Yeah, this is something I learned from a friend. He said every time when he or his team is working on a feature, they are told to write at least two tests. Doesn't matter what, they have to write two tests so that the next one will find tests and feel in need to write also tests. So they try to make this circle that everyone is writing tests all the time. And it works very well at his company. So I try to adopt this.
That's a really nice approach. The thing is, I think it's a great approach and it totally makes sense. So if somebody sees, okay, here are tests, they are motivated to write more tests, and it gives the impression we write tests here. So that's really a nice approach. I just try to think about when I wrote the last time code where I wrote only two tests because I love tests and I tend to write a lot more tests than I should probably. Yeah, but that's a cool approach. And do you have any best practices, or how do you decide when you don't mock the backend? So which are the cases where you say, okay, this is important, I will write an end-to-end test the whole way, most likely the critical passes, but are there other suggestions you have?
When I try to be lazy here, if I had to mock a lot of stuff, I try not to use integration tests. I try to do end-to-end tests because of the feature completion of the backend. So to get the same data and the same structure and to make sure that everything works. So very often you are not able to make integration tests because you need some very special keys or whatever. So this is my switch. If I need some very special stuff and the structure or the structure is very complicated of the data and the calls, they are very much I have to do, then I try to do an end-to-end test. If the tests are more or less easy handled in the back end and so then I try to do it integration tests. So because of just of the performance.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds good. Okay. And one last question. Sorry. But did you notice that when you use Cypress on a project, do you write less end-to-end tests in another tool? So like maybe you use Jest and you can write integration tests in Jest. Do you find that you write less integration tests?
Or? Yeah, I write way more tests now in Cypress than in other tools. Okay. This is something I find out. So for me, sometimes it's very hard to decide how or which kind of unit tests I want to do. And sometimes it's hard for me, even in applications, or to think about how I can write tests for unit tests. And for me, it's an easier way to find end-to-end tests for these approaches. And especially if you are developing or maintaining some libraries or like this, then for me it's the easier way to, okay, let's make sure that my library works like I expected in an environment and in usage, and not try to test all the services and components by their own and isolated, because sometimes it's hard if you have this kind of component-based architecture, or even if it's some kind of RX or data-driven architecture, it's hard to come up with all the data and set up all the stuff. So it's way easier to do end-to-end test, because you don't have to mock all these observables and listeners and all this stuff. You can just use the end-to-end framework and the environment you have already.
I had the completely the same experience, and I'm so happy right now to hear other people telling me the same things that I've thought before, as I was not used to use Cypress or any other end-to-end testing tool. I was still writing a lot of Jest, and I mean really a lot of Jest unit tests. So my test class for one single file component was so more huge than the component itself, and it feels kind of weird. And the problem was that I never could decide what I really want to test with Jest. Is it snapshot testing, or do I want to test if properties are passed to anything? And when you take an example of a navigation bar, and I want to navigate through my website with Jest or with unit tests, I had to decide, do I want to test if the user can click on a link and other method or a stub or a spy gets called? Or do I want to test that the URL is changing? Or do I want to test that some client-side router was triggered? I was not sure what to test. And in the end, with end-to-end test, I could wrap my head more around it. So with Cypress test, it was like, okay, I want really to check the result. I want to check if I click on about that I land on the about us page. That is what I expect as developer or user, not that a method get called or that some properties are changing. So with end-to-end test, I really could reduce the amount of unit tests I'm writing. And it also feels a bit more like test-driven development. Although I'm still, sorry, Miriam, write tests after I wrote my application code. I still feel that it's more test-driven testing that I write, because I really test what I actually wanted to do.
I just checked the time and thought, okay, how much time do we have? Because don't get me even started about unit tests, test-driven development. So as you told our listeners in the introduction, I adore unit tests, so I have strong opinions about unit tests. But yeah, I think Cypress makes it easy to write a good end-to-end test that kind of builds on a user story. So like the user clicks a button and the user expects to land on a specific page. And I think that's a great thing. And I think the next topic we just started to dive, not even to dive into, but just to talk about. So what is a good unit test, and how can we unit test stuff? And do we test like more the implementation, like if a method is called, or do we more test on a more integration level if the user gets redirected and stuff? I think that's a topic for another podcast, because I think we can talk about this for at least 1 or 2 hours. At least I can. But yeah, it's interesting because I think kind of a thing I'm afraid of, because I really love unit tests and I see Cypress makes it so easy to write quick end-to-end and kind of integration tests, that I'm a bit afraid that unit tests will get lost a bit here. And I think it depends a bit on the application. Do you really need as much unit tests as I would like put into every application? But yeah, I think it's a testing pyramid for a reason, regardless what other people on the internet are saying. I think testing pyramid has a reason. Yeah, I think you still need unit tests, but I think the smaller your application is, and it also depends on how much releases do you have. So how many times do you have to run the tests? And if you have a small application and you don't have as much releases, I think Cypress is a really good tool to write a lot of tests in. Okay, I just love unit tests, so I will talk about this for ages if you don't stop me, Vanessa.
Stop me.
Another episode.
But I think I don't think that unit tests will go, because unit tests are the tests you have to choose if you develop front end stuff without the environment, without the API, without the if you develop services without they are used in any kind of the application, then you have to write a unit test, because there is no one else who tests it or he uses it, so you can't go for an integration test. So I think there will be no chance to get rid of end-to-end unit tests. So there's no chance that they will go. And this is good, because I also have a unit testing workshop, and I see a lot of people struggling with these topics. I try to show them how easy it is and how they can think about testing and what they can test. And yeah, this is a very important topic. There is way too much code which is not tested. So every single line of code which is tested is a win for us.
Yes.
Wow, I think
I love it.
The episode title now.
Yes, that's so good. And I love it. It's like, yeah, story of my life.
Miriam, you just mentioned the testing pyramid, and maybe we have new developers also on the podcast. Could you explain what this is?
Yeah, the testing pyramid is kind of a visualization how well-rounded test suite in a project can look like. And it looks like a pyramid on the base. So you have a lot of unit tests. So small tests that run fast and that are cheap, because for once they run fast. And the next thing is a good unit test will fail pretty quickly if there is a problem in your code. And because it only tests a small unit of your code, it's pretty easy to find what causes a failure. So it's pretty easy to fix. A good unit test basically already tells you where the bug is sitting and how you can fix it. So that is why you say unit tests are cheap, because they run fast and you can fix them really fast. And they are fast to write. And then the next level is integration tests or service tests. They are different, like variations of the testing pyramid, but I tend to think the middle base is integration tests, and you should have some integration tests. So a unit test tests one unit of your code, one really small part, and an integration test tests how a few or many of these units kind of play together, so how they integrate. And then on the top, really small part of the pyramid, you have some end-to-end tests or UI tests, if you want to call them that. And they are on the top because they are more expensive and they are slower. They run slower with Cypress, not as slow as with Selenium, but they are also slower because normally you will take more time, or you will have to spend more time in fixing them and finding what the error is. I have to say Cypress makes it really easy to debug end-to-end tests, which is something I almost cried about when I tried it for the first time, because it was so easy to find my bug. But normally you say end-to-end tests are some things that are a bit slower and they are more expensive and they are also more brittle. They tend to fail more often, even if there is no reason for it. So even if the code is not broken, and that's a pyramid.
you say that with Cypress, it's not as slow and expensive as before, but you still would say that end-to-end tests should be like the top of the pyramid.
Yeah, that's my opinion, my strong opinion. I think they should be the top. And I think Cypress, how you make the difference between unit and integration tests is kind of academic. So in the component, I write a component test, is this a unit test or is it an integration test? Because I'm not sure if I shallow mount a component in Vue or in React. Mm-hmm. React, mm-hmm. It's already a fake out. So is it really a unit test? And the same as with integration and end-to-end tests, especially with Cypress. So you can write a lot of integration tests in Cypress and could write really few end-to-end tests. So it's not so easy to say, okay, is this a unit test? This is an integration test? This is an end-to-end test? The difference is kind of a bit academic, I think, at least.
Yeah. Dave, I have one last question to you.
Yep.
So when I wrote some homepages in the last couple of months, I used Svelte for it. And Svelte comes with inbuilt Cypress support. That is awesome, yes. But the first example test is, because there isn't much code on the skeleton project, is that they test if the H1, so the headline, is the example text they set in their skeleton. And I was a bit confused why I should test at all if the text of my headline that I write in the HTML is on the website. This feels kind of like I would test if the web browser is able to reach HTML.
Maybe this is also if you start the first unit test in after you added Cypress to your application or to your project, then you have very often you have this first test says should contains or psi contain and is replaced with something meaningful. And they try to show you how easy it is to find or address a DOM element and find it and interact with it. So there's no reason to test something like, okay, I have a variable and I set this variable to 1 and then I test if the variable is 1. So this is something, yeah, it is a test and it will be green, but it's not useful. And this is just this kind of testing where you can very quick explain how you can access variables or DOM nodes and so on. It's just an example.
Got it.
Okay.
Finally, I have my answer there. Thank you. So maybe it's a good time also to wrap things up right now. So we talked about that Cypress is just great and we love it and it's awesome and it's fast and it's not expensive anymore and I can do that as a front-end developer. Do you have the feeling that anything is missing from Cypress or do you have any kind of problems with it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was testing for client side to test with a login page, and I don't want to mock or send. You can test and logins. You can send the responses of the login server. Can send it directly to your UI, or you can interact with the login backend. But we want to test the path that you enter the website, then you get redirected to login page, then you can enter your stuff, and then you get redirected back to your UI. And this is, at the moment, it's missing. There isn't bug open. I missed the number of the bug. I opened the bug. It was closed because it was duplicated. I haven't seen it, but they are working on this. So at the moment, it's not possible to open a website and get redirected to another domain. And then this is something where Cypress at the moment means we are at May the 4th, 2020, is struggling with. Maybe at the next update, this will be fixed. Maybe. And I have to mention, very important, I have to mention my friend Gleb, which is, I don't know what's the name of his position. He's one of the Cypress guys. And he's very active in the community, and every time when I have a problem, I reach out to him directly. He is shown on the website, cypress.io. Gleb is his name, and he's a very awesome guy. And if you have any questions about it, you can reach out to him. He's very nice, and he's very helpful.
All right, I hope he gets a lot of messages after this episode.
He said to me, if anyone has a question about this, I can't answer them, I should shoot them, forward them to him, and he will help. He will love to help. And so I do it like since, I guess, 2 years like this. And he didn't complain about it.
So, yeah, and regarding to your bug, may the 4th be with you. Maybe this day helps. Miriam, any last thoughts from you?
So I'm Team Tracky, okay? I'm Tracky for life. I think I'm really curious if we start working with Cypress in our project. It will be really cool. The only thing I know my coworker who set it up struggled with was she had some problems with conflicting types because we are using Vue with TypeScript. And I think there were some problems, but she solved it. I'm not totally sure what she did. But I think maybe, I'm not sure how good it or how well TypeScript is supported, or if there should be any problems. There shouldn't, I think.
There was an update a week ago, and now TypeScript is fully supported in
Cypress. Okay. No, that's good to know, because it was 2 weeks ago that she had the problems. That's cool. And I think there was already an issue on GitHub. So I think we should do a Cypress episode in 6 months. I think we all will have some new things to report.
Right. And so far, I just remember then the Internet Explorer thingy, there you can't use Cypress.
Yes, that's important.
We also do have other tools, Puppeteer. I can't think of another one right now. So maybe we can cover also that in another episode. I want to thank both of you so much for being on this episode.
Thank you for hosting and having us.
Yeah.
But I think we should do a woohoo, little celebrating our first episode. No?
Ta-da. Yeah, woohoo! Woo! The first Expect Exception episode, and I managed to pronounce it correctly 3 times.
That's so good. I will never try that, not once.
So, thanks again to you, and see you on the next show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.